See if I can give you a little taste of what VBS is going to be. Because I know some of you will choose to stay home instead of coming and watching Rick with a puppet and the fabulous lights that we have. It's going to be a good week with the kids. But please continue to be praying that as we reach out to these kids that there will be something that touches their heart to accept Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. It's not about making us feel good about reaching kids. It's about touching some kids with the very message of Jesus Christ. So I want to appreciate what both Jan and Bonnie have done to decorate things and to set things up for us. I thought about turning the lights on earlier when Judy was doing this, but then I figured that would shock her so much she wouldn't know what to do. Just be praying for that. We want to talk today about being led by the Spirit. You see, today is Pentecost. Today is one of the most important celebrations in the church. And as a Baptist church, quite often we don't celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, and then we forget all about Pentecost. And the Pentecost to me is the birthday of the church. And that's when the church starts. That's when things change dynamically in a way that was not before. And I want to talk about that during my sermon. It changes so dynamically what happens in the midst of the community of believers. And so many times, we just don't pay attention to it. And I'm hoping after today's sermon that you will pay more attention to the Holy Spirit and that what the Spirit does in your life. So first off, listen to these words that come from the 8th chapter of Romans. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You see, the Spirit has come upon the church. And if you study that passage in Acts chapter 2, you find out that the Spirit has come to exist upon the church to bring about a dynamic power within the church. A dynamic power. Not a power that causes us to sit and be quiet. But a dynamic power. A power that should exist in and through us in such a way to reach out to the whole community. You see, Paul, as he writes this letter to the Romans, he tells them that status as a child of God is gained by being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you a couple of different things here. Every human being is created by God and is God's creation. But not every human being is a child of God. As we read the scriptures, it says those who believe in Jesus Christ have the right to become children of God. And in this passage, Paul says those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Now, for those of you that want to assign the Holy Spirit off to a certain denomination or a movement, you're going to need to back up. You're going to need to back up. The Holy Spirit does not belong to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. The Holy Spirit does not belong to the charismatic movement. The Holy Spirit belongs to each and every Christian. The Holy Spirit comes to live within the life of each and every Christian, and it's only as we listen to God and are led by what the Spirit tells us that we are then called children of God. That's the only way you become children of God. So if you're sitting there and saying, "Pastor, I don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit," this is an important message for you. Because if you want to be a child of God, you need to be led by where the Holy Spirit is leading, not by your own design and your own plans. Now, I want you to understand, before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did come upon people in the church. But it became upon very specific individuals. It did not come upon everybody in the community of believers. It came on and existed with very specific individuals. The prophets, especially. Moses, the Holy Spirit was there with him. The gentleman, which I never can remember his name, and this is poor of me, I should remember his name. The gentleman who was the craftsman for everything that was made in the tabernacle, when you read the scriptures, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him so that he could make all of those things for the tabernacle. But it did not come upon each and every individual that was part of the community of faith. Now, after the day of Pentecost, as soon as you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Not 10% of the Holy Spirit, not 5%, not 50%. 100% of the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Have you ever heard a voice say, "Don't do that"? Have you ever heard a voice say, "Hey, reach out and help this person"? It's not these little angels sitting on your shoulders, okay? As you see in the cartoons. It's not these little angels that are sitting there. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you about where you need to act and where you need to step back. The Holy Spirit is guiding and leading you. You see, the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is available to every Christian, not just a select few. Every Christian, okay? A relationship with the Holy Spirit is available to every Christian. If you tell me, "Pastor, I can't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying." Here is the very first thing you need to do. You need to start training yourself to know how to receive the voice of the Holy Spirit. You need to slow down. Because sometimes we don't hear because we're working too much. Sometimes we don't hear because we're too busy. Sometimes we don't hear because we're too involved in our own desires. You've got to slow down. The Holy Spirit is here to help you in the process of becoming a better Christian and reaching out to this community. So being led, to be led by the Holy Spirit, first means taking the time to listen to the Spirit speak to you. Taking the time to let the Spirit speak to you. Now, I know many of you raised children. And children have a great tendency to run around and not listen. I think that's what they were made to do. So that maybe we could pay attention as we watch, realizing that sometimes we do the same thing to God. We run around and we don't listen. Folks, I hope that you find some time in your day just to pull back, just to retreat, and just to pause Because if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you need to take some time to listen. And that means no talking. That means no having things in the background because, oh, I just can't exist without the Weather Channel on or whatever your thing is. I've met many people that said, if I'm home by myself, I've just got to have the TV on making some noise in the background. Do you realize that sometimes that noise drains out the voice of the Holy Spirit? And that you miss what the Spirit's saying to you? Because you just got to have something going on in the background? You see, folks, silence and solitude is very important in our spiritual lives. It's very important. Getting off by yourself and dealing with what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about is very important. You need to understand that. And if you're uncomfortable with silence and solitude, just keep trying. Just keep trying. I remember the first time I sat in a seminary class and the professor said, for the next 15 minutes, we're just going to sit here and be quiet. And we're going to let God talk to us. You're not allowed to do any schoolwork. You're not allowed to read anything. You're not allowed to do any church work. Just sit there and let God love you. That's all you're allowed to do for the next 15 minutes. And Dr. Glenn Henson would sit down in his chair. He would put his hands in his lap. He would close his eyes. And 15 minutes later, without ever looking at his watch, he would stand up and start lecturing. For the first week that he did that, I had classes with him 5 days a week, that's class. For the first week he did that, you could look around the room and you could watch people going, oh man, we got to do something, we got to do something. People scribbling on pieces of paper, people just wanting to do something. That class was 3 weeks long. At the end of 3 weeks, he gave us the choice of taking an exam on everything we had studied. By the way, the name of the class was Prayer in Christian History. From the very first day of the church until current day, we studied all kinds of things about prayer. And he says he gave us 5 books to read in 3 weeks. He gave us umpteen zillion handouts, and zillion is the right number, by the way. He gave us numerous Bible passages to study about prayer. And he wanted us to write down our thoughts on everything we read from all the handouts, all the books, and all the Bible passages. He says, I'll give you a choice. You can take a final exam, or you can go off to a retreat center with me for 42 hours and do nothing. That was not a hard choice to make. And why did he do that? Because he wanted us to realize how important it was for us to listen to the Holy Spirit. And how, as ministers, we needed to take time unplugging, moving away from things. When we went on this retreat, we were not allowed to bring anything with us as far as homework, church work, any of that stuff. Smartphones had not been invented yet when I went on the retreat. We had nothing. Matter of fact, at that time, I didn't even have a cell phone. This was 1997. That was the most beautiful 42 hours I have ever experienced. Doing nothing. And if you tell me you can't hear the Holy Spirit, then what I'm going to say is start by practicing with 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Sit down and just listen. Don't pray with words. Don't read Scripture. Don't read anything else. Don't bring a devotional with you. Just sit down and listen. 5 minutes. If you will do that each and every day, after a number of days, you'll find yourself doing it for 10 minutes and being so comfortable with it. You see, after he did that for us, 3 weeks, 5 days a week, 15 minutes before he ever started class, most of the students wondered, why does every class not start this way? Why do we not start everything that way? Calming down and waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak. Now, for those of you that say, I don't know how the Holy Spirit speaks, I want to share this with you. There are four dynamic ways that I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we give it an opportunity. The first way is in prayer. The first way is in prayer. Prayer is not just about talking to God and telling God what God must do. Because isn't that what most of our prayer is? Hey, God, we're coming to you right now, and we wanted to let you know these people have got problems and you really need to fix them. Do you think God doesn't already know that? We pray on their behalf. We lift up them and on their behalf. But part of prayer is also stopping and seeing what God has to say to you. And this is where the Holy Spirit touches our hearts in such a way. Have you ever felt some kind of little nudge while you're praying? And it just causes you to pause and try to grab a hold of what that means? Folks, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit opening the door saying, hey, listen for a minute. That's the Holy Spirit. The second way that I've seen the Holy Spirit speak in such dynamic ways is through Scripture. So many times we read Scripture and we're so willing to jump to a commentary. We're so willing to jump to what somebody else has to say about it. We're so willing to find a book that will help us understand it. Here's what I've found. If you just sit down with the Scriptures and open them up and just read a very small piece and just sit with it, there will be some words in that passage that will float up off of the page. There will be some words in that passage that quicken your heart in such a way that you go, where is this coming from? Folks, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's where it comes from. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It happens not only with the Scriptures. It might happen with another book that we're reading. I love to read. I love to read mysteries. I love to read science fiction. I love to read current contemporary literature. I love to read the old classics. And even in the midst of reading those, sometimes I have to stop because the Holy Spirit quickens my heart when I read those things. I want you to know that when you read things, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Are you listening? The other dynamic way that the Spirit speaks is the Spirit speaks through other people. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, you know, you'd be really good at, and the very first thing we do, because we're Christians, we're supposed to be humble, oh, no, that's not for me. Well, when the second or third or fourth person comes up and says the same thing to you, unprompted by everybody else, that might be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I've shared this with you before, but in context here, I'll share with you that I felt God leading me to be a pastor. I was a shipyard worker, and I loved being a shipyard worker. I didn't always love the vocabulary, okay? Shipyard workers have a different vocabulary, if you're not aware of that. But I loved being a shipyard. I loved being a mechanic. I loved to take things apart and try to figure out how to put them back together. I love it. I love mechanical movements. I love hydraulics. I love getting, Eric, you just need to know, I love getting hydraulic oil all over my hands. Now, I'm going to be sorry that I told Eric that. I mean, I love it. I enjoy it. And God was calling me out to be a pastor. And I struggled with it for 3 years. And finally, I came to a place where I understood that the Spirit was speaking to me about this. And the Spirit was saying, this is what you need to do. This is your calling in life. This is where God wants you to be. And I spoke with a group of other folks that knew me very well. And I said, this is what I'm hearing the Spirit say to me. And they looked at me and said, we could have told you that. And my very first thought was, why didn't you? Because I've been struggling with this for 3 years. Why didn't you tell me that the Holy Spirit said that to you about me? That was a confirmation on why I became a pastor. Because other people heard the same message for me and spoke it to me. The Holy Spirit speaks through other people. The Holy Spirit also speaks through circumstances. You may happen to be at a certain place at a certain time, and the Holy Spirit says, reach out and help this person. And you feel that quickening in your heart to say, that's what I should be doing. And some of us, we struggle through it and we go, no, that's not what I'm going to do. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem... And the Holy Spirit is still saying, no, reach out, help them. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. There are some other dynamic ways that the Holy Spirit speaks, but I have found these four ways are most instrumental in my life. Most instrumental. Now, let me take a step further with this. When I hear the Spirit speak in prayer, and the same message comes through Scripture, and the same message comes through other people saying, you know what you would be good at? Oh my gosh, I better pay attention. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking through many different ways to confirm that this is where I am to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let me share one thing with you that I don't have in my notes for today. The Holy Spirit may speak to you about something, about how this church needs to operate, what this church needs to be involved with. And the Holy Spirit may never speak to another person about that. Contrary to what you might think, I do not get up in the morning and answer a phone call from God. And God saying, Tim, this is what we need to do today at Withville Baptist Church. And these are the words that you need to share. And these are the things that need to be done. And this is the person you need to reach out to. Oh, gosh, I would love to have that phone call every morning. It would make ministry as a pastor so much easier. So much easier. Because you see, I have to discern those things on the fly. And I am fallible. I do get it wrong. And I know that. And I'm aware of that. But here's what I want to tell you. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something, you need to speak up to the rest of the church. Because here's what I found in the midst of community sometimes. I'm feeling that, you know, the church really should walk in this direction. And the Holy Spirit's leading us to walk in this direction. But as I've talked about it, some people go, no, Pastor, we've tried that before. That don't work. But yet somebody else comes up and says, Pastor, you know what? I've heard the Spirit say the exact same thing. And somebody else comes up and says, I've heard the Spirit say the exact same thing. When the Spirit speaks to you, it's a message for the community of faith. It's not just for you as an individual. And you need to speak up and share that with the community of faith. Otherwise, the community may never know that's what we need to be about. And as people speak up, we need to listen. We need to test it. Is the Spirit saying the same thing to me? Maybe the Spirit is asking this church to go in a direction that we have never gone before. Never. Never even considered it. We could get it wrong if we don't follow the Spirit. We could get it wrong if we don't follow the Spirit. Because the Spirit then is telling us, here's the direction I want you to step. Here's the way I want you to go. This is the way I'm leading you. And as I lead you this way, I'm preparing things before you. I'm getting things straight in front of you. I'm touching hearts. And as you walk in this direction, you will not believe the dynamic things that will happen if you'll walk this way. And so many churches go, no, we never did it that way before. This is the way we're going to do it because this is the way we've always done it. You know what Einstein said about that? Do those of you know the definition of insanity from Einstein? Einstein's definition of insanity is this, if you don't know it. Doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. That's insanity. Doing the exact same thing over again and expecting a different result. Might we consider how the Spirit's leading us instead? Might we look and say, the Spirit's leading us this way, and yes, we've been that path before, and it was dynamic, and it was successful, and it was wonderful, but right now the Spirit is speaking about us walking this way. Folks, that's when we're children of God. When we listen to what the Spirit has to say. When we talk with one another and share those dynamics with one another. Being led by the Holy Spirit also means that you are willing to take the critical step of putting the Spirit's words into action. Being led by the Holy Spirit means that you are willing to take the critical step of putting the Spirit's words into action. It's one thing to hear them. It's one thing to acknowledge that we've heard them. It's one thing to understand that's what the Spirit is saying. It's another thing to put it into action. I've seen churches that can't hear the Spirit. I've seen churches that do hear the Spirit, but never put it into action. Which one will we be? What kind of people will we be? I want to leave you with this question. Two questions. Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? I want you to remember this. God is the God of the impossible. And God will lead us into the impossible. So sometimes I know which way I need to go because it seems impossible. And God's saying, I want to show you something new. I want to show you something dynamic. I want to show you something that you've said you can't do. Are you being led by the Spirit? If not, what's the first action you need to take? If you're not being led by the Spirit, what's the first action you need to take? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because this living of this spiritual life is a hard task. It's very difficult. But you haven't left us without resource. You've given us the resource of the Holy Spirit. And you've given us people who have walked that way before, that have shown us how we can do it. So, Lord, open up all these dynamic ways. Overwhelm us with your voice through the Holy Spirit. And then help us to be bold enough and have courage enough that we can act upon the voice that we hear. Because, Lord, we know that sometimes you'll lead us in ways that this world will say, look at those crazy folks. But Lord, if we'll follow you in the way that you lead us, incredible dynamic things will happen. So we pray, Lord, that you would open doors and avenues and ways, and that you would lighten our load, and that you would quicken our feet, and that you would help us to truly be led by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.